Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Glade.
Yeah, like the air freshener?
Like the air freshener, yeah.
It would be a little weird.
Or, I mean, it could be Glade. I don't know.
Oh, God.
By the way, I just want to let you know that Lee Battelle, I may make this part of the read now. I may every city.
What's
I may,
Lee Battelle say about Glade,
about Glade?
Yes.
So every city now, I'm going to try to find, you know, Glade, of course, just north of L'Oreal.
L'Oreal?
L'Oreal, yeah.
So we got the soap or the lotion place and the air freshener yeah. place by each other.
Yeah. Just I can't. Yeah. So there you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Lee actually texted me the next day. He said he nearly ran off the road.
Yes, he enjoyed that.
We talked about Lee Battelle. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. If you own a business, if you are working with a business that has a lot of printing going on, whoever you are, give Cam Baker a call. Let him sit down with you and talk about what Pip Printing and Signs can do for you and for your business. All right? You don't have to be a Bulldog. You can be a Rebel or a Golden Eagle. They're happy to do business with you at Pip Printing and Signs. They've been working with companies across this state for the last almost 40 years. So when you talk about printing in this state, Pip Printing and Signs, that's the number one name people are always going to go to. And like I said before, if you are a Bulldog fan and you want to become a Bulldog Initiative business, you can do it with Pip Printing and Signs without spending an extra dime of your own money. Call Cam Baker today and tell him you heard about him here on Thunder and Lightning, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You are looking for it. We're looking for interlocking MSU gear. They've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell. Shop online at collegecornerstore.com. I'm going to keep tweeting these links. Please buy these products. That's the way for us to get into the athletic department's mind, saying, hey, this is what we want. We want the interlocking back. The only way to do it is with your pocketbook. College Corner can help you do that. Again, two locations in the Jackson area, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best place in town is Restaurant Tyler. If you've got a special occasion coming up, or hey, if you just want the special occasion to be the meal, you can get that at Restaurant Tyler. Restaurant Tyler has great steaks, great chicken, pasta. If you're a vegetarian, they have some options for you there. Seafood is fantastic. Their fish options are really, really good. And for a great ending to the dinner, the best dessert in town, the awesome stuffed pancake. If you haven't already, you need to head to Restaurant Tyler for dinner. It's going to be tough this football season. Make reservations, get you a table, and enjoy a great meal at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let them show you the way that they can move you forward with your money. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Take it from there. Let them take it from there, I'm sorry, and get you in a financial place where you want to be. They'll show you how to invest, how to manage your money. It's a lot more than just a checking and savings account. It's not just some small-town community bank, but it is small-town community bank service. It's a great best-of-both-world situation for you there. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. On Tuesday, so this is Wednesday as we're recording and Thursday as you're listening, but on Tuesday, Robbie and I got to go up to SEAL building, and for the only time this year, we got to speak to Mississippi State's assistant coaching staff. I got a kick out of assistant defensive coordinator Matt Barnes answering my question with, well, if you talk to me after training camp, maybe I'll give you a different answer. And I just wanted to say, I'm not going to get to talk to you after training camp. I won't get to talk to you again ever again, maybe. So if you could just answer my question now, that would be great.
How strange is it that...
You only get one? This is the Saban way.
I'm really trying. I promise people, I'm not trying to complain.
Well, this one is not Mississippi State. This is, I mean, Saban does this. Kiffin does this. Kiffin only gets.
Yeah, but Mississippi State is not, to me, I don't think Mississippi State's in position to do that.
While I would agree with you, Kiffin did it year one at Ole Miss. I mean, they don't make assistants available.
I would argue.
The head coach answers the questions. I don't have a problem with
that. I would argue that in this day and age and, like, you know, the salaries these people are making, they should be made available every week.
I don't disagree with you.
I understand that. These are grown people too. Like this, it's not like we're like this is an 18-year-old kid. Like these are people that are, they're old enough. Like they should have to explain certain things. You know what I'm saying? And like I don't see the harm in it either. But whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
If this is going to be your policy, just make this your policy. I don't want to come back in a few weeks and see somebody else got an exclusive with Coleman Hutzler. That's as long as I don't have that problem, we're fine.
I don't think you have to worry about that. I think Lebby's pretty.
I think he's content
on this. This stuff is usually kind of fluid too. I remember Mullen had like some policies that were hit or miss, mm-hmm. and I think what we're seeing with Lebby right now goes back to what we were talking about with recruiting and like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's just feeling it out. Like I think he's just trying to figure it out, and maybe we will see something else next year. I don't know, but yeah, this is what he wants to do this year. He doesn't want any interviews with his assistants. I would love to have a little more Chad Bumpus, though. I know that. Yeah. And Cody Kennedy.
Yeah. Let's talk about the football and what we were able to learn yesterday or what we got from that. I thought Bumpus and Kennedy were by far the most dynamic two that would go there. And I'll tell you somebody who impressed me, and I didn't have a lot of expectations coming in because I didn't know much about him, was Cliff Odom, the mm-hmm. special teams coach. That's a guy I could see down the road becoming a coordinator and possibly head coach. He had the right attitude. He had the right mentality, I thought. We'll start with Hutzler, though.
Still kind of young, too.
I think he's young. This is a young staff.
He might be like a year or two older than me.
I would say that DT is by far the oldest guy on this staff.
Very young staff.
And Corey Bell is probably second oldest.
And also, I think people are kind of rushing to judgment on some of these coaches. Yeah. Like, they're... You know, the guys are not good personalities. Like, that doesn't mean they're going to be a bad coach.
They're talking to us. What are they selling us on?
But it was funny. It was like immediately when I posted those videos on our site yesterday, like, I can tell so-and-so is a dud. Like, do we know? Like, just because they're not, like, a great speaker, they don't feel comfortable in front of a camera, doesn't mean they're not going to be able to coach. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, I think we're kind of jumping the gun there.
I think people just want the defense to be bad so that a lot of bias.
Well, some of the offensive guys, too.
Well, I feel like they just want some of their biases to be confirmed, and that's fine. I get it. But...
I mean, speaking on the defensive backs, like I remember that long thread whenever I was at 247 on Darcell McBath and how bad he sucked, and then all of a sudden
now it's like we should
people
kept
like
him.
Why didn't we keep him? Yeah, the same people that were saying he should be fired.
So, what did you think about what Hutzler had to say yesterday? I thought for the most part, that's our first. You know, I've talked to him and Paul had a conversation with him. I don't know if anybody else has, but. I mean, I think people have this idea that Hutzler's like a meathead.
Yeah.
And I thought he came across like every other defensive coordinator I've ever really talked to, and that, you know, didn't give away a lot of the scheme or anything, which I tried to get. I did.
I don't understand that.
I did ask the question that I said I was going to ask about what do you do formationally, and he went around me. He got around. He was able to evade contain on that one. We'll put it in defensive terms. But
I think what you're going to see is a 3-4 base.
I think that's where I think three down linemen, and then it'll be 3-3-5. 3-4, and then
I think 3-4 is probably going to be the base defense.
I agree.
But and I mean, the linebacker is basically your edge rusher.
The guy was just a normal defensive coordinator.
I've actually the very little time that we got to see of spring practice, and then seeing him some in the summer camps.
Uh-huh.
I'm really impressed with how he teaches the game.
Yeah,
I've sat there and watched him a couple of times, like at summer camps. Mm-hmm. Very intense. He treats the summer camps like he does at practice. And That was impressive to me. Now, can he get on the field and scheme up a game plan? Mm-hmm. That remains to be seen. But I refuse to believe that a guy that has worked with some of the people that he's worked with is a dummy.
Right.
You know, I think that he knows the game. I think he knows how to coach linebackers. Again, the question is going to be, can he lead a defense? And we've kind of left Matt Barnes out of it. But, you know, he's part of it, too, as the co-defense coordinator. It just feels like Hutzler is the guy that's probably leading that room. And I liked what I heard from him, you know, saying the right things outside of the whole multiple thing that we could argue about. But he's saying the right things, and some of the players that I've talked to since the spring have really enjoyed playing for him. They think that the defense has a good game plan. We'll see. None of that stuff really matters until you actually get on the field and get me a good idea of what this defense looks like.
Did anybody have anything to say yesterday that made you go, okay, that's interesting, that's something I hadn't considered? I found Cody Kennedy's comments about trying to build because with the offensive
the
line,
chemistry piece,
yeah, like being
I mean,
offensive
I mean, you
line,
just kind of think of, you just think that's already there.
Right. Offensive line is where you've got to have that chemistry, right?
Yeah,
that's the main spot on the team where everybody's got to be on the same page. And when you've got five new starters and four of them didn't go to college here last year, that can be incredibly difficult to build. And so his thoughts on how they've been trying to get that were interesting to me.
Well, and you're dealing with an entirely new group.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Reese is the only guy mm-hmm. that was here last year that's going to be on that starting offensive line, and he started in one or two games.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a big piece that people don't think about. They treat it – a lot of people treat this in the transfer portal like NCAA football,
mm-hmm.
where it's a video game, it's computers, you already have people programmed to do their certain
right.
thing. That's not how it works.
No.
You have to have cohesiveness.
It is not.
You have to have a cohesive unit up front.
Mm-hmm.
And if your offensive line sucks, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
Your offense is not going to run like you want it to run if you can't perform as a unit up front. And he kept talking about, like, and he was straight up that, you know, it's gotten better, but it's still not there yet. There's still some things they have to do. I was super impressed with Cody. And I've been impressed with him from the start. I thought it was a good hire initially. And, you know, you can kind of chalk up the year that they had at Arkansas to the change in offense. I refuse to blame that on Cody Kennedy because he's shown the ability to have success in an offense very similar to this. I was impressed with him before I even got to really be around him. But when you hear him talk and you hear him really break down the game, break down his group, he was impressive. And I don't get the idea that, you know, offensive line coaches in general seem to be guys that are like no bull crap. Like they don't really hide who they are.
Mm-hmm.
John Hevesy, we've seen it in Mississippi State before.
Yeah.
John Hevesy, he was who he was. He never put on a face. Those guys and defensive line coaches are kind of the same way. Those guys show you who they are. I think Cody Kennedy is very real. And I think what we saw yesterday is a guy that is still trying to figure out what his offensive line is going to be. He's impressed with his group. He likes his group a lot. He likes what he brought in from the transfer portal. But he knows that it's going to be, you know, it's going to take some time. It might take a few games for that unit to be in good shape. But I think he is cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. I asked a question of Corey Bell about Kelly Jones. And the more I think about Kelly Jones, the more I'm both intrigued and I don't know if concerned is the right word, but there just aren't cornerbacks built like him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'4".
We've been skeptical of that since we saw him at Top Dog. And that,
I can't believe he's not a receiver.
But I think what you're dealing with is someone that has different kind of athleticism and bend mm-hmm.
And that's what Corey said. He talked to me, he's like, I got to find ways for him to be comfortable doing what he needs to do.
He's not super stiff, which
right.
is...
A guy like, that big is unusual.
Yeah, he looks like a safety.
Yeah.
But what we've seen and what we've heard about him, especially this summer since he's appears to be one of the fastest guys on the field, is that he's not like your typical 6'3", 6'4", guy at cornerback. He looks to be a guy that can handle that position at that size.
Mm-hmm.
I was very concerned when he was in high school that he was going to get in the weight room. Because guys, a lot of guys...
I thought he'd end up a linebacker.
Well, a lot of guys, you know, they get in the weight room and...
start putting away, yeah.
Yeah, you know, J.P. Purvis was like that. J.P. Purvis was a safety.
At this point, be like 6'4 and 230.
Yeah.
And be an outside linebacker.
You start lifting weights and people carry it differently.
You talk about like NCAA football. That's something I used to do, was I would find cornerbacks that were just a little too slow, but they were big, and turn them into safeties, and find safeties who were just a little too slow, but they were big, and turn them into linebackers.
Well, every offseason,
turn outside linebackers who were a little too slow into defensive ends.
Every offseason, you could, like...
You change your position.
Change your position, and you go from, like, you see somebody that's, like, a 60, well, all of a sudden they're 80,
yeah.
like
exactly.
Wait, what is...
Exactly.
What happened?
Exactly.
Like, am I Dan Mullen here?
Ah, well, you know.
I've cracked the code.
Yeah. So, all in all, I mean, I thought that, you know, there were a couple of guys that I was like, you know, Bumpus being one, Kennedy being one, Odom being one. Those are guys I was like, I can see them continuing to progress as coaches. And there are some guys, they're just assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of where they're going to be. But, you know, I'm definitely, after what happened
Bumpus
to me.
Bumpus was pumped.
He's excited. And he should be. He's got more talent
in his
room.
His group's fun.
He's got more talent in his room than anybody else does.
But that guy, like, he could not contain his excitement.
Yeah.
I wish we could talk to Bumpus every week.
I can.
He came in and was just like, oh,
yeah, he was.
Look,
I got
what we got
it,
here, the riffraff.
I had that question locked back on, like, when we got the email on Saturday. I was like, I'm going to ask Bumpus a question and make it seem like he's really old. So my question was, when you were a freshman a long time ago, and he was like, don't say it like that.
He was like,
that.
It ain't that long.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, and the question I asked him was very similar to that. I'm sorry, I'm moving.
Don't mess with my camera.
I can't keep my
every
hands
day,
still.
I turn that camera on Super Talk, and I'm like, why is it pointing behind me?
Me and Jim Ellis come in here and just
y'all just mess. This is my office.
Okay, so I asked him, after you had asked that question about, you know, when he was a freshman,
yeah,
or whatever, he had to play. I thought it was interesting that, you know, he came in with Dan Mullen, the culture's changing, things like that.
Right.
I wondered if he thought there were some similarities, and he, like, cut me off in the middle,
like,
of that.
Absolutely.
And was like, yes. He's like, I see so many similarities from this team and the one that I joined in 09. And that's who I want to hear from about that. Cause I don't think anybody else could speak 100% on that like Chad Bumpus.
Right.
He's in the room now. He was in the room in 09. I've been wondering what direction this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know until this season ends, probably. And I think we'll have a solid idea of what direction this is going by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But Chad Bumpus believes that, you know, this is more Dan Mullen. So hopefully that's what we see. But I think, you know, the offensive side of the ball seems to be very excited. The defensive side seems to be a lot of questions, even from the coaches. You know, I think they're just waiting to see their guys get out on the field. And there's a lot of positions that are up for grabs, which could be a good thing. I mean, you've got competition out there. Everybody's going to be locked in. And I think that they're mirroring our thoughts on this team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is the offense is really exciting. There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of things to be you know, really excited about this year. And then on the defensive side of the ball, it's just going to be, you know, trial by fire for some guys. The fall camp is going to answer a lot of questions for some guys. I just think it's fall camp.
You son of a...
I just think there are...
Oh, it's fall outside, is it, huh?
Yeah, it feels great.
I've never been part of these 102-degree falls.
The leaves are falling.
It's because they're burning up,
but they're falling.
Yeah,
my trees are dying outside. I looked outside the other day. I was like, is it fall? All the leaves are coming off.
No, it's not.
But yeah, I think it's just... I think there's some cautious optimism on both sides, and this training camp is going to tell us a lot of things. And at the same time, I don't know if we'll know certain things until the season starts.
You're right.
But I did enjoy hearing from those guys. I can't stand this dust that you have on your
computer. Well, go buy me a Swiffer.
I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, just get a cloth. There's a closet, like, right in there that has tons of cleaning materials in it.
That's just for the bathroom.
You can use it on anything.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't know if that's correct.
It's crazy, I know.
I don't know if that's correct or not. So, well, I enjoyed talking to those coaches, and we'll see them next year.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys next year.
We'll pass some of them in the press box.
You know, what I should do is, if Matt Barnes is still here next year, be like, hey, last year I asked you this question.
Yeah.
And I don't need about this year. Just answer it for last year for me now.
Hey, Coleman Hutzler remembered having a radio interview.
He did. He did. Well, how could you forget?
You told him not to say multiple, and he still said it.
He still said multiple. Multiple is the defensive coordinator's favorite word. Now, on the field, their favorite word probably starts with an F.
Yes.
But other than that, away from the field. So, all right, let's move into our opponent preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whether you're cooking the steak this weekend or you're letting somebody else do it, a steak should be on the menu. Enjoy yourself. Have a great meal. And do it with beef. If you are headed to the grocery store this weekend, I'm telling you, if you just go to Kroger, you're going to be surprised. If you really look around, you're going to be surprised at the cuts of beef that are being offered at Kroger. And they've always got steaks on special. So if you're not buying beef, you need to be. Because not only is it a great meal, it's a great value. And these days, hey, price of pork and chicken is basically where a steak is. Might as well have the steak. That's how I would look at it. So. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for. What a great place to go. And I haven't been in a while. I need to correct that problem because I love a trip to Two Brothers. I also love a trip to the Older Brother where we were earlier today.
We almost went to Two Brothers, but we went. I mean, I just don't go to the Older Brother enough. I'm always nervous about the crowd.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy who like walks into the Older Brother and you look and all the tables are full. You're like, well, crap, I just have to walk out.
But
if you do, you can always go to Two Brothers. Always room there. So I keep talking about the Older Brother. Guys, that place, that's going to be a hot ticket come this football season. So, you know, if you get in there, enjoy it. But you can always go to Two Brothers and enjoy some smoked southern soul food. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of you, their customer, with service after the sale. And anybody can sell it to you. Who takes care of you after you walk out the door? That's the businesses you're going to come back to, and that's what Advantage Business Systems is providing for such a long time, for 5 decades. That's a long time.
Long time?
Long time. Imagine being alive that long. I couldn't.
You're about to.
I got another year before I got to worry about that. It's
coming.
God willing.
It's coming.
Hey, that's Six Pack Speak registered. Don't get us a copyright infringement.
Is it? I thought it was also in 247.
It was us bringing it there, though.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 867-9305. Don't forget.
867-9305.
Yes. Yes. Anyway.
Because you can't copyright the original.
Well, number. No, we did. The guy who did that, who was Stephen Agostinelli, just screwed up.
Oh, he didn't do it the right.
He didn't do it the right way. I remember looking at it. I was like, "You screwed that up." And he's like, "What?" I was like, "It's 867-5309." He's like, and he was literally just like, "Crap."
So there's nothing worse than like making a joke or something and missing out.
So we had to make up.
Happens
a whole,
all the time.
There's a whole story.
That's anyway. Actually better, though.
Yeah. 601-362-9192 is another number you can know. That's the number for Advantage Business Systems. Let Advantage Segway. Business Systems show you how their business does. I don't even remember what their tagline is. Maroon & Co. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. Again, we're going to push the interlocking. We're going to keep pushing it. The place to get stuff here in Starkville is Maroon & Co. They've got a great selection, stuff you can't find anywhere else. I was just driving by there. They've still got the, you know, Hail State 98 posters and everything up. They're letting you know. They're saying, hey, we've got it in here. We've got the interlocking stuff. Come in there and grab it. And use our promo code, Thunder15, 15% off regular priced items. And that will get some exclusions do apply. That'll get you a little deal the next time you're there. Before you go to the games this fall, head to Maroon & Co.
It's time for that push.
Yeah. It's Texas week here on the podcast. We had our SEC preview. Now let's do our opponent preview. Joe Cook joins us now from InsideTexas.com. It's just Texas week here on the Thunder & Lightning podcast. We did our SEC preview of Texas and our prediction on them. Your fans, Joe Cook from Inside Texas, will be very happy with me as I had the Longhorns undefeated in their first season in the SEC. I think I deserve an honorary 10-gallon hat or a free pass to the front of the line at Franklin's Barbecue. Something. Tell me, what do I deserve for that?
Oh man, I thought we people who cover Texas and who are in the Longhorn world didn't know what we were in for. So maybe there is something to a good team being in Austin this year and contending for a title. But no, you'll be welcome when I obviously the Horns don't play the Rebels this year, but they do play the Bulldogs in Austin. So I think if you make the trip, people will make sure to treat you well.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, here in Starkville, we've been talking about that, and that's the first game. And, you know, that'll be an interesting trivia question, you know, down the road for people. What was the first SEC game for Texas? And it was Mississippi State. It's been 28 years since State came to Austin with Jackie Sherrill in his second year here at Mississippi State. What's changed? No, I'm just kidding. With this team, it just feels like that they are the most SEC-ready team. A&M wasn't this SEC-ready when they came in. Missouri certainly wasn't. I don't think Oklahoma is at all. Texas feels like a team that we could have plugged in last year, and they still would have had the same kind of season they did. They obviously showed that when they beat Alabama. Why is this team so far ahead of the other teams that have come into the conference?
You always hear about, you know, the grind of the SEC and what has those teams special and what makes, you know, these SEC high quality teams. And Steve Sarkisian's been asked about this a number of times. It's like, look, I'm not trying to build an SEC team. I'm trying to build a great football team. And great football teams have big athletic humans in the trenches and really, really fast guys elsewhere. And he always makes the point that it just so happens that most of those teams happen to be SEC, in the SEC. Texas was one of those teams last year. They did it in the Big 12. They lost one game in the Big 12, lost one game in the college football playoff to the eventual national runner-up. But they looked the part. They had two top 50 picks on their defensive line. They had two top 50 guys, including a first-rounder, at wide receiver. All their skill talent got drafted. Like, they had all the hallmarks of an SEC team. They're just playing in the Big 12. Big humans, fast people. Now they're in the SEC, and their schedule is going to look a lot more like that. They're going to see other similar teams, but they still have big humans up front. They brought back four or five offensive line starters, and the fifth was someone that started a handful of games last year. They have a third-year quarterback in Quinn Ewers, who's skilled at getting the ball to those guys all over the field. And they have some portaled in offensive skill talent at wide receiver. So a couple of them play in the SEC, Amari Nyblack and Isaiah Bond from Alabama. So on defense, it may look a little different. They don't have those giant defensive tackles and T'Vondre Sweat and Byron Murphy like they did last year, but they should probably be a little bit better at a lot of different spots. They portaled in some quality guys on the defensive line to try and fill in for Sweat and Murphy. They portaled in a lot of experience, good players in the defensive backfield, and they're going to trust their talent and what they have at linebacker. So the team that won the Big 12 last year, that made the college football playoff, there's a lot of similarities between this year's first SEC team and last year's college football playoff team.
The one thing that stands out to me, and I use this website called Our Lads. I think people in our line of business use it a lot for depth charts. Even if they're not wholly accurate, they are at least, you know, they give you some names to work with. When you look at the Texas starting 22, there's only, you know, four guys on offense that are transfers, and one of those is Ewers, who's been there for 3 years. So, I mean, we're not really calling him a transfer at this point. Defensively, there's only four guys on there that are listed as transfers. One of them, Gavin Holmes, has been there. This is a lot of continuity. This is not a lot of new faces from a team that was 11-1 in the regular season a year ago. Is this the most continuity that you can remember from year to year at Texas?
Yeah, it tops last year. So that tells you a little bit about what Steve Sarkisian emphasizes. Continuity is not always good. Sometimes you see returning starters, and it's like, oh, they got 10 or they have 15 returning starters. Yeah, that's great. They went 4-8 last year. But they've got, you know, for all the NFL losses they had, they still, like I said, have four of five starters returning on the offensive line. Quarterbacks coming back. Two of the top three running backs are back. There's two of their top linebackers, their best defensive back. Like, when you're dealing with the type of seasons Texas had, there's going to be guys that you lose. And other schools know this problem well. It's a little bit new to Texas, at least in the past decade or so. But it's still a problem that others know how to fix. And the best way to do it is to get guys and keep guys who maybe were the second guy last year, or maybe, you know, broke through the lineup late in the season, and get them ready for starting job. I think a great example of that is Malik Muhammad, a true freshman from Dallas last year, was often behind Ryan Watts, who ended up going, I think, in the sixth round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When Watts goes down, Muhammad steps up, and over the course of the last two or three games, he performs really well. I think he even has an interception against Texas Tech late in the season. That's somebody who Texas expects to have a lot of impact this year on playing against opposing teams' top wide receivers. So that continuity is kind of seen there. There are a lot of guys who may not have had, you know, a ton of snaps, but they had snaps. They had opportunities, made the most of them, and now they're going to be asked for more. And that just kind of goes across the board, especially as you lose guys to the NFL on a, you know, hopefully on, if you're Texas, on a more consistent basis.
If I had one negative about Texas, and it's not a negative about Texas, it's just a negative, the schedule. This is for an SEC team. This is a relatively easy schedule. Obviously, the game at Michigan is a tough one, but you know, Michigan lost quite a bit. I don't expect them to be the same team that won the national title. But no Alabama, no Ole Miss, no Missouri, no Tennessee. You do have the game with Georgia, which is probably the game of the year in the conference. You miss, you know, of the six teams I would say could be playoff contenders in this conference, Texas is obviously one of them. You miss four of them, and you have the game with Georgia. Is there going to I don't see a world where Texas misses the playoff, but if they miss it, that would be an absolute catastrophe, would it not?
Yeah, I think if Texas is not in the playoff, that means they probably went 8-4. And that's not what the Longhorns are looking for in this season. You talked a little bit about who they miss and who they get. If you look at the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they play two teams. They play number 1, Georgia, and they play number 8, at least in the SEC poll. Mm-hmm. Then they play number 9, number 11, 12, 14, and 16. They do miss a lot of the national titles contenders, save for Georgia, and they get Georgia at home. But there is one aspect about that where, you know, you have three of your four road games are against teams, I guess to say, and or all four of your trips away from DKR in SEC play are against teams ranked 8 or lower. Well, you get Oklahoma. They're number 8. That's in the Cotton Bowl, and crazy things happen there every single year. Texas A&M, number 9 in the poll. Well, Texas A&M hates Texas, and they're going to get the first chance at the Longhorns in a 100,000-seat Kyle Field. And I don't think Texas A&M is the 9th team in the conference. I think they can finish a lot better than that. Arkansas may have its problems, but Arkansas beat the heck out of Texas in 2021, and they hate Texas maybe as much as anybody, and they have to go away from DKR for all three of those games. So what the teams may not be as formidable as some other opponents on other schedules, but the environments, save for Vanderbilt, that Texas has to travel to this year, are definitely going to make they're going to make things a little bit more difficult than if they were playing them at home. That said, those are teams that you would think Texas can still handle their business with, especially Arkansas and Vanderbilt. We'll see what Texas A&M, you know, end of the year rivalry game, road environment, always interesting. I think that game could have a playoff implications, just because I don't see a supremely difficult Aggie schedule this year in the SEC as well. But you know, the quality of opponent that they're getting is of a different level than it was in the Big 12. But at the same time, they do, like you mentioned, have a little bit more of a manageable schedule for year one. They just have to go to some tough places to play those games.
What is the difference in the Texas rivalry with Oklahoma and Texas A&M? What's the difference?
I think if you ask a lot of fans, they see Oklahoma as equals. And, you know, if you're looking at Texas in history and Oklahoma in history, I mean, Oklahoma has been the more successful program when you look at national championships, conference championships, and, you know, even Heisman winners. Their volume is greater. Doesn't maybe brand exposure is better for Texas, but win national championships and, you know, individual accolades, Oklahoma I think has the number. But that's a program Texas sees as a little bit of an equal. For the longest time, I think like 80 something years, this was the biggest rivalry game on Texas schedule. It was a non-conference game until 1996. And then when both teams joined the Big 12, that was the first time it became a conference game. It's obviously going to continue that way in the SEC, but it used to be kind of a, for two states bordering each other, it used to be an interregional rivalry game in the middle of the year. And it was a measuring stick kind of for both the Southwest Conference and the Big 8 to see whose best was best. They saw each other kind of as peers. With A&M, you know, yeah, Aggie fans are always going to say, oh, we were founded first. Well, it was the Agricultural and Mechanical College of Texas, 1870-something. The University of Texas, which the state constitution designates to be a university of the first class, 1883. Aggie fans, you know, they've always been a little bit trying to get one over on Big Brother because that's how it is. Texas was the dominant team in the Southwest Conference. Texas A&M was always kind of in the shadow. Texas has won, I think, 70% of the games against Texas A&M. There are some blips where the Aggies had some runs, especially in the 80s and early 90s. They're blips. And Texas what became a national brand because of their successes in the 60s under Darrell Royal and 70s with Earl Campbell and, you know, 2000s with Mack Brown. Texas A&M only has blips. So at the same time, it's the in-state rivalry. It's the one where, you know, you can have a brother go to Texas and a sister go to A&M and they're meeting each other over the Thanksgiving table. So the bigger rival, without a doubt, is Oklahoma. But there are so many fans who are glad to see this rivalry back. I'm glad to see it back because I got tired of watching people just bicker over the internet, bicker over recruiting, not to denigrate other sports, but, you know, claim superiority with, you know, a baseball series win or even a non-conference basketball game win. A&M track athletes would wear their bibs upside down at Texas relays just because they had a Longhorn on it. That speaks to how petty and silly it became.
I did not know.
That speaks to how petty and silly it became. And that's why I think, even though it is probably the second rivalry for Texas, it's one a lot of people are ready to see handled on the field instead of on the message boards.
I love that kind of petty, though. I'm not even going to lie to you for a second. That's fantastic. I didn't know that, so you taught me something today. One last question. This program this year, SEC ready, they're ready to compete for an SEC and a national championship. Are they built to do it when yours is gone and some of these guys are gone? Is the program, I know this team is the program SEC ready?
I think so. Of course, it takes recruiting and recruiting and recruiting and recruiting. And, you know, when you're looking at Texas, they've stacked up top six classes, top five classes over the past few years. They've been wildly successful in the portal. They have a backup quarterback that might be have better name recognition than the starter. so they have a lot of the stuff that is needed. But this is kind of where they have to continue to develop as a program. They can recruit all they want, but one of the things that Texas has lacked over the course of the past few years is development. And now it seems like they have that back. There were guys like Ryan Watts who were started very early at Ohio State, then didn't stick, for a variety of reasons, gets to Texas, becomes an NFL draft pick. Tavondre Sweat, it took him a few years. It took him a few years to break some bad habits. Then he goes in the top 50 or top 60. Even Jordan Whittington, someone who has battled injury basically every year since his junior year of high school, finally gets it all together and gets picked in the seventh round by the Los Angeles Rams. Like, there are so many more pieces of evidence that Texas is the developmental program for these star players, these guys who have a lot of talent, that it feels like they'll be able to do that with some of these talented recruiting classes they have brought in. They're going to continue to hit the portal. They're not going to primarily do the portal. They want to be built by their, you know, what their foundation is with their classes. They're going to lose guys every year. When you're dealing with high-end talent like you are now, you're going to lose those guys to the draft because a lot of these kids' dreams, yeah, it's to play for Texas, but it's also to make tens of millions of dollars, and they're not going to forego that opportunity if it's in front of them. So the big deal is development, and I think Texas is developing better than it has than over the course of the past decade when they were going 5-7 and 7-5 and stuff like that. They're doing a lot better job of that, to where, you know, you pair that with some of the skill position at quarterback, and there's the future looks very bright for the Longhorns.
Texas hosting Mississippi State for the first ever SEC game in Austin. Should be a fun day out there on the 40 acres. Appreciate your time. Joe Cook, InsideTexas.com. Always a pleasure to have you on the podcast, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Joe. Appreciate his time.
Good Joe is the guy who has a wife or something from West Point, right? Is that right?
I did not know that. I wish I had that information.
I thought you had a conversation with a guy that covered Texas or something, and like he has family from West Point or something.
I don't remember this.
Because I think we talked about this last year because I was like, Joe Cook, the guy from the Jackson TV station? You're like, no, this guy does have a connection to Mississippi, though. Like,
I have to go back and listen to that. I don't remember.
Maybe I'm
this guy, Joe Cook, the first time I texted him, yeah, I was like, hey, Joe, so-and-so, I'm Brian Haydad, so-and-so, we'd like to have you on to talk about Texas, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, are you sure you've got the right Joe Cook? Because yep. I've gotten a lot of texts for the other guy who's in Mississippi. I was like, no, I know we're in Mississippi, but we want to talk about Texas. You're good.
I'm almost positive that he has like family right. here I'll or something.
I'll reach out to him. Next time I talk to him, we'll
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a complete idiot. That's a very high possibility.
There is a greater than zero chance of that.
I'm already an idiot, but complete idiot is what I'm going for here.
You're on the right path.
Yeah.
So. All right, tomorrow's show, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll figure it out when we get there. We'll just get on the road and start driving, and wherever we end up,
I mean, that's usually how it goes.
Sometimes I have an idea before we start the car, but
we'll see. I don't.
We'll see. We'll see where it takes us. Guys, have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Watch me. Watch me.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.